This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
This is WTIC Pet Talk. Today, Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital takes your pet health questions. Whether you have a dog, cat, or hamster, this is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. And now, Pet Talk.
Good afternoon and welcome to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis, and it's so great to be in the studio seeing Anthony, my executive producer, here today, as well as just being out and about in 50-degree plus weather. Does this not feel wonderful? So we are here live in the studio, and as you know, I will take on any questions having to do with your pets. We do like to concentrate on veterinary concerns, if at all possible, just because we do have a trainer, Lori Fass, who will be on next week, and we alternate our shows here. But again, I will be happy to take any calls having to do with your pets. And you are the reason I'm here on Saturday afternoons. I always try to bring the best updated information on some of the health concerns and some of the things you might be reading about in the media. But this is about you sharing some of your questions, as well as whatever you present here on the radio. So many people have told me over the years that I've learned so much from the show just based on what people are asking when they call, and your answers and your reply. So as I said, I'm from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. And if you cannot get on the air today, I would recommend that you can always call me at work. Call us on preferably not a Monday, but we also have a website that you can reach us to as well, and that's BloomfieldAnimalHospitalCT.com. Very, very easy. We have a great staff that monitors to that, and they will bring those questions to me. But again, we're here to talk about what's going on with you and your pets. And I already have Joe that has a great question. But I just want, before I get to you, Joe, I just want to make sure that we outline what we're going to kind of look at today around the questions, around the next hour. And because it is Valentine's Day and because it's Super Bowl Sunday coming up, there's certain things that I thought we could touch on having to do with heart disease. If you specifically have a dog or cat that's dealing with some heart concerns, happy to answer those questions. But I'm all about prevention. What can we do to prevent our pets from having troubles with their heart. Some of it is out of our control. Some of it is genetic. Some of it has to do with certain breeds of dogs are a little bit more prone to something like pulmonic stenosis or sometimes just congestive heart failure itself. But again, we are here to make sure that, you know what you can do, what you do have control. And that's including diet, weight control, exercise. And I would emphasize too the regular exams. I know because of COVID, some of you have been working with telehealth with your veterinarian. We still predominantly are seeing all our patients. We're still doing curbside service, but I think this spring that we're going to be able to change that. But there is nothing like putting our hands on your pets. We don't wear that stethoscope around our necks just to look cool. I listen to every single pet that comes through that door. I listen to their heart because we can pick up early signs of heart disease, something that that you don't notice. Again, we know that it can be a silent killer. But when I do pick up a heart murmur, and we'll explain a little bit differently what a heart murmur is, it's something that I let the owners know and let them just be aware and what we can do to make sure that we follow through on why this pet specifically has a heart murmur that they didn't have 6 months ago or didn't have 2 years ago. So we're going to talk a little bit more about heart disease, but as promised, this is a show for you and your pets and your questions. So Joe, you are up first. How are you today? Joe, got me? Okay, yes. I'm sorry. I missed the first part of that. So sorry.
I know. I says, how are you?
I'm doing great. How 55 degrees driving around today?
I know. Great day.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
What's the earliest age a puppy can receive their final parvo vaccination?
That is a good question. And a lot of people don't realize that vaccinating puppies does have a lot to do with the age versus, okay, my puppy got two shots of this. All right. But a lot of the audience doesn't necessarily know. Right now we'd like that last vaccine to be between 14 and 16 weeks.
Okay.
Having said that, because we have seen so many dogs that are coming from the South that are in these kind of shelter situations, there are some that are recommending, and these are people that are specialized in vaccination. These are people that are at the veterinary hospitals. They're recommending in certain situations maybe go up to 20 weeks because, again, what we're trying to do, which I know you understand this, Joe, but what we're trying to do is time that last veterinary injection of parvo or distemper while the mother's antibodies that she passed on to the puppy are dropping. And we're finding that some of these antibodies are dropping later than earlier. Does that explain? Does that answer the question?
Yeah, and also I know, because I even called the pharmaceutical company, I guess like the COVID vaccination is 10 to 20 days after the final vaccination.
I lost you. Did you say COVID?
Because I called the vaccination company.
For
it takes 10 to 20 days after the final vaccination for a dog to be fully protective.
Yeah, and I think that it depends on, you're talking specifically parvo.
Parvo, well, it's all the same shot, right? Usually it's a parvo distemper shot.
Yes.
Or the same one.
Right. I think, again, you're getting a booster. So even after that first vaccine, we know there's some protection that's there, and that booster, just like what we're people that are getting vaccinated for COVID, that booster is just going to get that level up higher. And yes, if you're going to put a puppy in a room with 10 other dogs that have parvo, you want that protection as high as possible.
And I also know that I think brown hair dogs like a Doberman or a Rottweiler, sometimes they're recommending a fourth shot of that for whatever reason.
Right.
Now, the reason why I ask this, I go to places, not just walking on the street, where there's people bring their dogs, a wooded area, dog park, whatever. And how old is your dog? 14. You shouldn't bring him here. Oh, he's fully vaccinated. And,
yeah.
It's just...
And Joe, that's why this question is so valuable, because we do spend the time at our hospital to explain to owners why they need to come back again and why we do not recommend that they expose their dog to other dogs until a certain age. obviously a no-brainer is you want that puppy vaccinated for rabies before you go out and venture out into a dog park, or like you said, even walking around in the woods. I mean, just be patient. Let this dog be fully vaccinated, be fully protected from these diseases that are potentially fatal. We know puppies that die from parvo, distemper, rabies.
Oh, I know. And right? On top of it, what I do with my puppy, when he had to his second shot, I waited about 10 days. Mm-hmm. I believe I did that time with him. And then I would walk him on the street and stuff like that. If I wanted to socialize, when that's important, I used to carry him. I used to carry him to stores and everything.
Right.
As far as going to a dog park, no, I didn't until he's fully protected and everything. But I see these places, the dogs, he's protected. And I'm a little excitable. I start losing it.
We've had conversations. I do know.
I start losing it. It's just like, don't tell me, it's not fully protective. It's just,
No, but you know what? But you are a great advocate for our pets. And again, this is knowledge that sometimes we in the veterinary profession are to blame. We're busy too, and we don't always explain it to owners. Sometimes I know I don't always put that in my, when I'm talking to owners about, what they need to do for their next step, but I try to. And again,
you know what happens sometimes too? Well, I got to talk to my wife. He brought him there. Well, why don't you talk to your wife before when she got home and everything? Well, why don't you let your wife tell you?
Right.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm going to lose. I'm going to get arrested one of these days.
Well, again, I don't want that. I won't. I don't know if counting to 10 is going to help us. But again, we're just trying to. And that's, again, why I do this on Saturdays, is to educate and to say, listen, and you can listen to this show. If you go back onto the website for the Odyssey website, and they do save these shows. So, when you see people say, listen, just go to, February, 11th show with, 12th with Dr. Dennis, and this is from the expert. So,
but doctor, they have a computer in their pocket. You would think they research this.
I understand.
I mean, if you're coming, you're bringing a creature into your environment and everything, you think you would read. You have a computer in your pocket. You don't have to,
Right.
Anyway.
And that's why, again, some of these things that I'm going to be talking about a little bit later today are things that I have talked about 5 years ago, 10 years ago, sometimes. But so many people, this is their first year or going into 18 months of having a pet, and they don't know some of these things that we need to address. And again, it's all about communication and education, and that's what we're here for. And I know, Joe, you get very passionate about this, but I'm glad you're on our side.
But the earliest is 14 or 15, and that's an outside.
That's
saying. What they're finding now, they're really saying 18, 19. That's what I did before.
Yes.
18, 19
yes.
weeks for the most part.
Yes. And especially these dogs that are coming from, any situations that are not particularly healthy. And there's a lot of question marks for these dogs that are coming up from the Midwest. They're coming from the South. You're not going to a breeder's home where you can see how well they're taken care of. So especially, the parvo is jumping up there, but we're also seeing, I cannot tell you how many cases of distemper I have seen from people that pick up these puppies in the parking lot from these trailers that come up south, and they have distemper. And I don't trust the paperwork that I see, but again, it's just, it's discouraging.
Well, the bottom line is, there's a very good chance that puppy's mother never was probably vaccination either.
Right, exactly.
So she had no protection to start off and everything.
Exactly, that's
true,
too.
I was in a store, asked this guy more than once, someone he knew, his godchild, whatever, got a French bulldog. I think he said it was from Missouri. I said, yeah, so he got it from a pet store. According to him, it cost, and I asked him more than once, not $13,000.
Oh, my gosh.
To get the dog well again. I said, $1,300? No, $13,000.
To get him better. Yeah, no, and that's why these dogs are staying in the hospital. They're hooked up to IVs. They're having all sorts of tests. So, hey, listen, Joe, thank you so much.
I'll be running my mouth.
Okay, it's good talking with you.
Be safe. God bless. Bye now.
Bye-bye now. Yeah, Joe is my passionate one, and I love, like I said, love having him on my side. But this is a time we have to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Pet Talk.
TIC News Talk 1080.
Straight through my heart. Welcome back. You are listening to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. And as our intro music here, our bumper music is telling us, we're talking about heart disease today in time with Valentine's Day. So I want to first, again, thank you, Justin Levine, for helping us with the bumper music. He's kind of make sure I give him the topic of what we're talking about and chooses three great songs that always seem to add a little lift to the show. If you have a phone call that, or I'm sorry, you have a question and you'd like to call us, please call us at 860-522-9842, or you can call 800-966-9842. And as you know, 9842 corresponds to WTIC. This show is about you and your calls. So please, the phone lines are open and I would love to talk to you about anything having to do with your pets. Some of you, I saw so many people out there walking with their dogs and biking. And you could just see everyone was smiling. You know, there's some smiling on the faces because people are obviously, you can see they're not wearing masks while they're outdoors. But, and the dogs' tails are up in the air. I also saw on the way over ran right in front of my car, is a bobcat. It was the biggest, healthiest looking bobcat I've seen, in a long time. I live in Simsbury, so we tend to see the bobcats, the coyotes, the bear. A lot of the bear cubs will be coming out shortly too. So they're the wild, we live with the wildlife in Simsbury, as well as many of you do in your towns. And just that was a reminder that, you know, I really do think that our dogs and cats should not go out by themselves. We've seen coyotes actually just whisk even cats away, take them away from their own, you know, being out in the backyard, even dogs as good size like Jack Russell. So it's just devastating when it happens. And even if they do not remove the pet from your property, I've seen some horrible fights and I've seen dogs succumb to severe injuries from coyotes. So just be careful. We do have leash laws for a reason. And again, just know that this can happen in a quick second and then you end up living with that guilt forever. So, all right. But back to talking about your heart. How are we going to keep your heart healthy? And we talked about the diet and exercise, but weight control is the most important aspect. We know that we, especially with felines and canines, it does tend to add to congestive heart failure. It tends to add to their risk. There's also been, and we don't really have a strong update, but you probably have heard about a couple of years ago, the FDA had a warning about grain-free diets in dogs causing dilated cardiomyopathy. And it's something that I would have the discussion with your veterinarian. We haven't had a real strong update with that. And we know that grain-free diets are something that have become more and more popular on the market. So, you know, I'm not necessarily an advocate. I don't know that it's necessarily grain-free diets are adding to the health of our pets. I'm always concerned when we try to take our human health concerns and just kind of correlate it with what pets need, because we are not, you know, we are not related to canines and felines. So I just would rather you have that conversation. If you feel there's a reason why you want to put your pet on a grain-free diet, first have that conversation and see if that's something your veterinarian would recommend as we kind of try to figure all this out. Because again, I know in my heart and in my mind that you only want to do what's best for your pets. The other way we can take care of good heart health is the heartworm situation. Many of you that have dogs are using a heartworm preventative on a regular basis. Heartworm is real. I have treated several cases. This is where dogs actually, dogs mainly this year, that have these heartworms living in their heart. And it's a horrible treatment. It's not easy on the pet, but yet is so easily prevented. It's a preventable disease. And this is both for dogs and cats. This is a disease that's transmitted by a mosquito bite. And the mosquito actually has to be carrying the microfilary of the worm itself, but if we can give them a preventative that's safe, And some of these preventatives do have ivermectin in it. And that's a drug that you've heard about in the news lately over the last couple of years. But we need the ivermectin for our pets to make sure that we prevent this heartworm disease, and cats as well. 25% of cats that are considered indoor cats are the bulk of the heartworm cases we see in cats. So even though I will recommend a product to go home with an owner, or they can get this medication on a preventative basis that's, again, completely safe, many times people will say, well, my cat's indoors. But yet he goes out on the patio, or he just hangs around the house. Mosquitoes come in the house. So again, conversations to have for your veterinarian. We were talking to Joe earlier, talking about being passionate about veterinary medicine. I'm passionate about prevention. If we can prevent something, why are we going to allow our pets to succumb to something like this? So that's also another way that we can keep our pets' hearts nice and healthy. If you do have a discussion about a heart murmur in your pet, what do you do next? The next thing I would recommend for my patients, that we usually go to the next step, which is usually something called an echocardiogram. And when we listen to the heart, a heart murmur, we have a grade. And yes, the grading is subjective, but when the same doctor is listening to it, you can be pretty sure. If I'm the doctor that's listened to the heart 3 years ago, no murmurs. 2 years ago, I'm hearing a grade one. One is the least murmur and six is the worst. And then the present year, I'm now hearing a grade three. My first recommendation is definitely let's see what that heart looks like. Let's do an echocardiogram. It's not invasive. That's the right word. You're not putting anything inside your pet. You're just going ahead and it's something that's all external, but you can actually see the heart pumping. You can see the valves. You can see the thickness of the heart muscle. And it's just such a great tool. And even if the heart looks healthy, we can determine why there's the murmur, but we have a baseline. So if your veterinarian, again, recommends let's do an echocardiogram, I would highly, highly recommend that you follow up on that. I know it's a cost and I know there's a fee, but most of the time our pets are so comfortable with this test that they don't need to go under anesthesia necessarily. We have a handful of cases that when we do the echocardiogram, sometimes we have to give them just a light sedative just to keep still. But usually they lie on their side and we get a nice reading of their heart. And it's just such a great, great tool. X-rays are also something that may be recommended. But if you are like kind of balancing what your budget is, what you have in your budget at any given time for your pets, I would always choose the echocardiogram over an X-ray to first get started with doing some baseline readings on your dog or your cat's heart if for some reason something was picked up. Well, it's going to be time for our news, so we'll be back with a second half of Pet Talk shortly.
TIC News Talk 1080.
Welcome back. We are in our second half of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. And as I mentioned earlier, if you have a question that you're a little bit shy about coming on the air, even though we're very kind and we will, there is no question that is not important. Let me put it that way. And so you can always reach me at the Bloomfield Animal Hospital, ct.com. That is our website. We've got some excellent information there about your pets and some great links for you as well. But, you know, they also have a section where it says contact us and questions will come through there. But we do have our open phone lines. And again, if we could probably get you in, or if you call now, we'll probably be able to answer those calls today. And we are going to have you call us at 800-966-9842 or 860-522-9842. And we will get you on the air. The reason why we're to have a lot of heart music was, yes, we have Valentine's Day on Monday, which we have to be careful with certain items that some of you may be bringing into your homes. And we'll, again, review those before we finish our show today, as well as the fact that the heart is such an important part of our health. And whatever we can do to prevent disease is ideal. Anything that your veterinarian is recommending is true. Even though you may not see symptoms of heart disease, even though your pet may not be in congestive heart failure, we are recommending certain things for a reason. When we take that stethoscope and put it to the chest of your dog and your cat, we are listening not only for heart murmurs, which we discussed earlier, we're also listening for irregular heartbeats. We're looking for something that may, it should be a nice lub-dub sound, nice lub-dub. And again, if that's not the case, then we want to look deeper. Also, if the heart is beating like irregular in terms of, instead of it's a nice steady beat, it beats like five really quick and then one on not so good, then that's, then we start looking at something like doing an EKG. But with all that, taking a step back, I usually try to bring something that does come from the news, and it just comes up on my feed, but probably because there's some algorithm that's associated with me as a veterinarian. But I did see in the, I think it was in Dallas, that there were five gorillas that tested positive for COVID. And when COVID first hit in March of 2020, I was asked several times to either talk to the newspaper or be on the air with television or radio, just trying to say the big concern was, can we get COVID from our pets and can our pets give us COVID? And now that we have 2 years under our belt, we do know a little bit more than we did before. And even right from the beginning, anytime someone actually had COVID in the beginning and they were really sick, I always recommended that they not have their pet right on their lap, that they not, kind of do the feeding, just being careful because there's a lot that we didn't know. But again, I think that's still good advice. If you indeed do have COVID, try not to do a lot of snuggling with your pets at this point. Only a very small number of pets around the world actually have been reported to be infected with the virus. But it's almost always after contact with people that have had it. These gorillas are asymptomatic. They're not showing any signs. They're watching them very carefully. But these individuals, this individual case itself, they do believe that when we see it in our big cats, when we see it at the zoos, that it's usually from the zookeepers themselves, even though certain protocols are put in place. But right now, that's where they think this is happening. We've seen it at the Bronx Zoo, I believe, a couple of years ago, too, with some tigers and lions, snow leopards. There was also a mink farm, I believe, in Oregon, where they had a horrendous outbreak. And these mink, the animals themselves did get sick. So it was really something that we feel as humans, we are the ones that are exposing it to our pets. But right now, there's no evidence, and I repeat, no evidence that our pets can give it to us. But let's just be careful. If we're contagious, especially those first 5 days that they talk about, let's just kind of let somebody else do the feeding and the hugging and let somebody else do the kissing, if at all possible. As promised, we will go to our phone lines and make sure that we talk to Doug. Doug, how are you today?
Good. I'm taking care of my neighbor's cat.
Okay.
It was a cat that he used to let out in the morning, and then we'd come back around 5 o'clock, and he'd feed it, and it'd stay in, but he lets it out every day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the weather being bad, he's been gone now for a couple of weeks, and I've been going down there taking care of his cat, and I haven't let him out once, but he cries at the door, and he's getting better, and he's getting used to me. I only spend about maybe a half an hour in the morning and a half an hour at night with him, but he seems to adjust being an indoor cat. And I'm afraid to let him out because I'm afraid he may not come back because he doesn't know me that well, but he's getting better.
And he's using the litter box appropriately, Doug?
Yes, he eats well and uses the litter box, he drinks, and I give him a little wet food at night. So when I come in, I call his name and I bang the wet can with the spoon, and he knows that it's going to be a treat. So he runs, he follows me down, and I feed him, and I spend maybe half an hour with him, and he seems okay. But I'm just worried that warm weather's coming, he's going to want to go out. My neighbor will be back in a couple of months, but I don't want to let him out.
No, and I don't think there's... We don't let our cat out. And again, you're probably listening to some of the things that I have seen happen, the deaths, the injuries. I don't think I see as many cats hit by car because I think so many people are keeping their cats inside versus when I first started practicing veterinary medicine. So I'm with you, Doug. The fact that he's not even looking outside, especially a day like today where, you know, you can just tell it, the weather feels differently. They do tend to adjust. I always worry more about the litter box situation, that if a cat was out all day long, and that's probably where they go to the bathroom. Will they go in an inappropriate place in the house? Will they start urinating right near the door or right near an open window? That's the thing that you kind of have to watch. But it sounds like he's doing just great. You're taking care of the litter box, scooping it out, keeping it clean, which I think is super important because that's what cats want most, is a clean area to go to the bathroom.
Right.
You're doing the right thing. I hope he does want to stay in. But I do think you have a good chance that he won't. But the question is going to be, when his owner comes home, what's his philosophy about this cat being outdoors?
Yeah, I know. He told me, he says, you know, I just can't stand it. He cries at the door and I have to let him out. But I let him cry. And then I said, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. And I leave.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, again, I see. So when he's home, because he's in the house with him, he just wants to go out. So when you're leaving when you're going home, does he like chase after you?
No, he's getting better.
Okay.
And then when I walk around the front, I see him in the window and he stares out the window for quite a while.
My cat stares out the window too. She loves it when the birds start coming out and we have the little chipmunks and the squirrels. I mean, if for some reason she ventured out or she got afraid, she gets afraid. So that's the other thing. That's nice when they're kittens and you don't really expose them to the outside. And again, I know some people believe they need to be outdoors. They need to run around. I just am more concerned about their safety. But you're right, you're transitioning him, and hopefully we can hear the treat about having something yummy around the house. The other suggestion I would make, and there's different things online that you can read, is because cats have to be mentally stimulated too. What can you do in the house? You're doing it with food, with nice canned food. You know, put that around the house. Put some toys, the laser. You know, try to make being indoors much more attractive so that we're not lazy, that we're not helping to entertain them.
Okay, good.
I would pass that on to the owner, but thank you so much for trying.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you got a chance. Okay, thanks a lot, Doc.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. All right, so I think that, Doug's got the right state of mind on this. I think that, again, I know some people are going to criticize me for this, but it's just like any, you remember when people used to like have these walkers for babies where you could kind of like walk, they would walk and had wheels on them, and then they took them off the market because we saw how many injuries, or especially emergency rooms saw how many injuries these little walkers, the babies would go down the stairs and hurt, and even death could sometimes be involved. You know, when you know something is safer not to do or not to use, why not do it? And that's the perspective I'm coming from. All right. So we have one more break before our show ends. And I can't believe it's almost over. But please stay tuned because you're going to be back with more Pet Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC News Talk 1080.
Baby, I see a future and it starts tonight.
Hi, you're back with Pet Talk. I hope I hit the right button. The music just seemed to end. Okay, so we're doing just great. There he goes. I think I hit the wrong button. They still do that, you know, because of... because it hasn't been a consistent being here in the studio. But having said that, we will be more consistent. Weather's going to be good coming up, I hope. You're listening to the Veterinary Edition of Pet Talk. And we are going to have Lori Fass here to answer your training questions next week. And I'll be back the week after that. So we've with 10 minutes left to go. And Rich, please stay. Do not hang up, Rich, because I want to take your call. But I just wanted to finish up on one of the thoughts that came up earlier. And with the Valentine's issue and Valentine's Day, we know that there's certain things that people like to buy. And most of this also is going to spill over into things that are going to be out in your homes with Super Bowl and having people over. And also in my household, we have a birthday that's coming up, a very special birthday this weekend too, or technically Monday. But remember chocolate. And some of you have heard me talk about this ad nauseum, but many of you do have new pets and don't really understand what it is about the chocolate. Is all chocolate bad? The best thing is just if you get it as a gift or you want to give it as a gift, put it up high, because dark chocolate is absolutely the worst for our dogs. But then you've got milk chocolate, and then white chocolate basically has very little in there, but all chocolate, because rather than kind of keep track of how much you need to eat to be dangerous to our dogs and cats, just put it up high. And if you're giving it to someone that has pets in the house, just kind of remind them. Flowers is a big gift this time of year. I actually told my family that I don't really want flowers this, because I have a cat that she wants to eat them. And I always have to put them up high where you can't really see them or bring them to work. And even though we're a veterinary hospital, the pets can't see the houses, the flowers. But things like the thorns at the edge on the roses any of the flowers, those can be very dangerous. They chew on them or they scratch their eyes or corneas. Baby's breath can be very uncomfortable for their stomachs. You want to stay away from lilies too. We talked many times about lilies and cats causing acute kidney failure. Daffodils, hydrangeas. And if you feel that you want to send flowers or bring flowers to someone that is absolutely, that no one can talk you out of it, just ask the florist if they can try to put something together that is as the least amount of danger to pets. They have these pet-friendly flower arrangements that they'll put together, and that would be worth asking as well, especially because flowers are nice. I'm not trying to be an ogre about this, but again, I'm talking about pet safety first. And if you do get flowers, my cat will get about as high as I can put it on any countertop. Just put them even higher. So think outside the box how you can keep them nice and safe. The other thing is if you're going to have a gift with wrapping, you know, things like have streamers and ribbons, cats find that like catnip. They are so attracted to string and ribbons. So those of you that have new kittens and that are now maybe even young adults, just don't have yarn out and about, string, those type of things just can be extremely, extremely dangerous. And then the last thing, and this kind of leads towards this the Super Bowl, the last thing is alcohol. Putting a beer down on the floor or even a low coffee table, those type of things are also very dangerous to dogs and cats. Do not have alcohol available to them. Enjoy your parties. Enjoy your Valentine's. But again, let's make sure our kitty and doggies are as safe as possible. Hey, thanks for being patient, Rich.
Hi.
Hey.
How lucky am I? My wife is allergic to flowers.
You save a little money.
I'll go quickly. I know you're up against it.
It's okay.
A fox, our very quiet neighborhood right near an elementary school, a fox was standing right in the intersection of two very quiet streets, just looking confused at about 9 o'clock in the morning, and seemed to be confused, not drooling or anything, or really thinking about rabies, but fox usually operate after dark, right? Is that unusual to see them in broad daylight like that, and could it be rabid? That's the first part of my question.
Yeah, I think, Anything has the potential in terms of having rabies. I think we don't see it that often in fox. Raccoons, for sure. Raccoons, we see it quite often here in the New England. Actually started with this specific species in New Jersey. But I do think I would call animal control, again, especially when one is looking confused. There's other diseases that can also affect the brain.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I think, but your observation and what you're like sort of telling us, I would always call it animal control, and they would let you know. But you're right. They're mostly out in the evening time. And again, you don't have to have seizures with rabies. You don't have to have just the where they're unable to control their drool or they can't swallow. That's usually the end stage. I think something like being out a time of day when they're not normally out and about, or if you make noise and they don't move, that's the type of thing that where I start to worry about this may be a sick fox. Were there any babies around? I mean,
little kids. There's an elementary school there, and a mother's pushing a stroller with a tiny tot as the second graders walking alongside, who they're walking to school, and we have second graders. And have a fox ever been known, to your knowledge, to attack a child?
I don't know. You know, I bet that's something I would have to look up.
Yeah.
Again, same thing with us. Plus, we're also, Rich, I'm also looking at this because you're not that far from where I live.
Mm.
You know, we are learning how to live with our wildlife, to go on those walking trails. And years ago, we weren't really concerned about a bear, you know, attacking the dogs as we're walking along, or attacking, you know, even a person. But we do see that this can sometimes happen. It is rare, but you always have to feel that we just can't trust the wildlife themselves. We can't trust it. That's why people that try to approach them because they're so cute, or the cubs. I mean, it's just common sense is that they're animals. And for whatever reason, whether it's their health or whether they're frightened, you know that they can turn.
Yeah, we did definitely tell the kids don't approach them.
Right.
I just wondered if they might attack. I just didn't know whether to let the kids, you know, sort of walk to school by themselves or walk with them. I did take a shovel and walk with them.
Oh, my goodness. But I would, you know what, animal control is really excellent for this. It's actually, you're in Massachusetts, right?
Right.
But just, I would reach out on Monday. And then also, I would reach out to the administrator of the schools, too, just to let them know what you observed.
Yep, because it did go to the schoolyard. It went to the schoolyard and then into the woods behind the schoolyard.
Yeah, yeah. No, again, it's nothing that I feel we want to panic, but let's let people know, and especially if you see it again, and because again, is there a den nearby? Are there babies nearby that she's protecting?
It was right out in the middle of the street.
Yeah, well, that's why I think there was some confusion. That I really do think, and again, if you didn't try to scare it, so I don't know what its reaction would have been, but yeah. Definitely those would be the two areas I would concentrate on, contacting school administration and animal control. And even though the animal control may say, well, then you've got to go to the Department it escapes me, but at least they'll guide you to the next step.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Well, thanks for the advice.
And
yes, we do plan to contact animal control in a moment to make a call. And so you must be in Southwick or Enfield or something like that?
I live in Simsbury, but the hospital's in Bloomfield.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, but it's just like, you know, I could throw a stone, it feels like, to Massachusetts.
Yep, we're in Westfield.
And I'm a real fan of aviation, so.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love that type of stuff. I've told many people if I didn't become a veterinarian, I wanted to be a pilot. So that was my choice number two.
Well, it's a good hobby.
I don't have time for that kind of hobby right now, but maybe when I retire.
Survive COVID, you can become a pilot.
Okay, thank you for saying so, Rich. Hey, listen, have a good weekend and be safe.
Thanks for the info and the show. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Thank you. Yeah, I really did. Or even the last choice was going to be if I could be the one that guided. You know, Anthony, you know those lights that they use when you have the big transporters and kind of get them to go where they have to park? That was going to be what I wanted to do. Number three was on my list.
Yeah, like the guiding,
yes.
You know, airplane guiders.
I think it's all about control and feeling powerful. But yeah, so thank you very much, Anthony Dorenzo, for guiding me through this show. I look forward to talking to most of you again in a couple of weeks. And anything that you feel that you want me to kind of bring to the show, something you want me to discuss, just send that email to BloomfieldAnimalHospitalCT.com. And topics, I would love to talk about what you want to hear about. Well, again, thank you so much, and we will see you next time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.